We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
It is Monday morning, afternoon, Tuesday by the time you watch this, depending on which time zone you were in. 5 a.m. Tuesday, midnight New York, 9 p.m. Monday night LA.
Also, we could be, you know, the bottom of your queue. It could be Friday by the time they listen to this episode, Bisping.
That one guy in Uganda, Wednesday afternoon for him.
Wow.
You know?
Who knows? Yeah, who knows these time zones?
You just don't know where you're going to go. You know what I mean?
Where do you think our most exotic fan lives? We have the analytics. We get to look at this stuff and find out, but I wonder where our most exotic fan lives.
Montevideo, Uruguay.
Whoa.
I've been there. It's not exotic. Thailand. We got a little fraternity in Thailand.
Yeah. Well, there's martial arts fans all over the world, so you got to figure, like, there's no stone unturned for the Believe You Me audience, the believers. So thank you for all of our worldwide international audience. We really do appreciate that. Merch coming soon, by the way, internationally.
Merch coming very soon internationally. I've seen the designs. They're delightful. They're coming in the mail to you guys. We're waiting to unveil so we can all wear it at the same time on the show. You know what I mean? We're going to give it like a little fashion show, but the merch is coming. Please buy it. We need the money. We're broke. But, you know, it's funny you mentioned, and I wasn't going to get into this, but you mentioned the international audience, Lewis. I saw some very troubling news on Twitter just a short while ago.
Oh, no. What happened?
We're running out of oxygen on the planet.
Oh, no. Isn't that the theme of Spaceballs?
We're running out of oxygen. Guess what he said? And clickbait motherfuckers got me to click. The Earth will run out of oxygen in this many years. Guess how many years?
Let's guess. Not in my lifetime. We'll say, not my lifetime, could be 10 years. We'll say 48 years.
Well, you're way off, but it's okay. We're not going to play this guessing game because it's stupid.
Well,
but
hot and cold, or high or lower.
You're very cold.
Very cold. Okay. All right. So we'll say 10,000 years.
But still very cold. This could go on all day.
Oh, well,
I'm just going to interject right here. We're going to run out of oxygen. Apparently, all the scientists agree that this is a foregone conclusion. It is a fact. But not for a billion years.
Oh,
okay?
A billion years. We're going to kill each other. There'll be a nuclear holocaust well before that.
I hate to sound doom and gloom, but I guarantee the human race will not be still alive on this planet in a million years.
A billion or a million?
A million. I think a million years, we're done. We're over. We're gone. We have intoxicated the planet so much, it's ceased to exist. It's ceased to be a livable place. The humans have blown each other up. We've done nuclear bombs for days. And we're dead and buried. Long time.
I think we're traveling to other galaxies at that point. There's definitely other planets out there with similar atmospheres. Maybe not. I know Mars, they say, has a similar atmosphere, and Elon Musk is going to bring us to Mars. But honestly, after his performance on Saturday Night Live, I don't trust anything that Elon Musk says. It was so bad, I don't believe in his judgment.
It was so bad that he should go to Mars and stay there.
Okay, go to Mars, go out on the atmosphere and take his helmet off like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Total Recall and watch his eyeballs pop out of his head.
Give the people air! Give the people air! But, you know what? I'll be honest. I looked at his little... because Sunday morning I woke up. Mother's Day, by the way. I'll get into that.
Oh, yeah.
But and I saw some things about Elon Musk on Saturday Night Live, and I thought, well, I've got to watch this because this is going to be bad. Elon Musk does a monologue, so I Google it. Of course, comes up straight away. I didn't think it was that bad. Come on. It wasn't too bad because the guy, you know, he's an extremely smart guy. Apparently he came clean and said he has Asperger's, which is kind of, I don't know too much about it, but it's kind of like comparable to autism and like on a low level, right?
Yeah, we're like, we know, we've heard you speak.
Yeah, well, no, that's right. Yeah, you see the Joe Rogan podcast. We had an idea. But you know, I thought all in all, he did a pretty good job.
I didn't see the monologue, and I heard the monologue was the best part. I only saw the sketches because I came home. I came home and I turned it on. And I was like, I got to watch this. This is going to be a fucking train wreck. And I got home and I turned it on, and it was just every sketch was cringier than the last one. And I couldn't handle it. It was like brutal. And also the format of Saturday Night Live is just, I haven't watched it in years. And it's just like one sketch, then a long commercial break. One sketch, long commercial break. It was very annoying to watch. So
sounds like an episode of this podcast. It's so fucking annoying.
I hate commercials. Actually, now you really just shined a light on it.
I loved it. I hate commercials as well. It does my fucking head, and I'm trying to like watch fishing videos with Lucas, and it goes fucking commercials all the time. Very, very annoying.
Can I tell you a game to play with him? This.
Yes.
You'll love it.
Go ahead.
And Lucas will love it, and it'll change. And you know what? All the listeners are going to love it too. It's going to change your commercial.
What is it? Go on.
Enjoyment. Why are you such a curmudgeon? You don't like games? What's wrong with you, Bisping?
I do like games. We've got a lot of things to talk about. We're going off on a tangent here, but please tell me about the game.
Commercial game. It's called the commercial game.
Okay.
And what
How
happens
do you play
is
the commercial game?
The commercial game comes on, and whoever yells out the product that is being advertised in the commercial gets a point.
If you've seen the commercial before, it's a pretty easy game to play.
I know, but you start to memorize the commercials.
It's an easy system to game. I like to challenge my son, okay?
No.
That won't fly in this house. Elon Musk was not very funny, according to you. You want to know something that is funny?
What?
You want to know something that's hilarious? Don't be offended, American people. The American driving test.
Why?
I took my driving test last week. After 10 years of living in America, illegally driving.
Breaking the law?
Well, you could say that. I'd rather you didn't say it on an international podcast, you know. I have my driver's license. I got my driver's license in England, okay? And in England, you don't have to have your driver's license on you at all times. If you get pulled over and you don't have it on you, you're given what's called a producer. And you got a certain time to bring in your license to the local police station. You guys have, you know, you have to have your license on you at all times. So I've been driving out here for 10 years without a license on me. Technically, with a license, I've been insured on my car. I showed it to the insurance company, but since then I lost it. Right, and I live in America, so it's not that easy to get another one. So I've been terrified every time I drive. That's why when I pulled over, when I broke down at the side of the freeway, you know, when I was changing that tire, the main panic came in from, if a fucking cop pulls over now and is like, everything okay here? Or just show me your driver's license. I'm like, fuck, I have a license.
I have to kill this cop with my bare hands now.
Third one this week.
Yeah.
I'm going to get caught eventually. No, so anyway, I got round to doing my driving test. Oh, my God.
Tell me about
it's
it.
It's so easy.
So why is it harder in England? What's so hard in England about it?
Well, for example, all right. So anyone in England or anywhere that has wheel driving
laws. First of all,
laws,
it's on horseback.
It's on the other side of the road.
You have a sword. You're on horse.
It's very hard. No. So in England, I think, I can't remember. Maybe I'm getting this wrong, but it felt like it was about 45 minutes to an hour. Right. And you have to do a lot of driving maneuvers. You got to do emergency stops. You got to do 3-point turns. You got to be able to do a reverse park. You got to show some driving skill.
You have to do all that here.
No, you don't.
Not in California, maybe.
On my test, all I had to do was drive around this very, very quiet, sleepy neighborhood. Left here, right there. Pull over the car and then drive away again. And then that was it. And I was like, wow, that's it. That is it. Very, very easy. I'm not complaining, by the way. Very happy that I passed.
Did they know who you were?
No, they didn't know. And I was very annoyed at that because I was like trying to like jump the line and this and that. Because Rebecca said, because you have to have an accompanied driver when you go there, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And I said, babe, you got to come with me. She said, no, it's fine. I didn't need you to come when I went. I said, yeah, but you've got a British license. You can show them. She goes, yeah, you'll be fine. I said, I don't have a British license though, Beck. What if they ask questions? Anyway, I get there, I wait in line, I get to my time. And she's there and she says, where's your company driver? I said, oh, it's fine. I've got a British license. She goes, well, show me then. I said, I can't. So anyway, I called Rebecca. I'm like, get here quick as you can. She got there just in time. Yeah, just in time. So yeah, anyway, it's very easy to drive here.
So yeah, maybe that's a California thing. I don't know, because I've taken it in New York and New Jersey, and we had to do a 3-point turn, K-turn, parallel park. We had to go like 100 yards in reverse, like all this shit. There was in Jersey, it was like an obstacle course. In New York, it was just a neighborhood, and I went around a neighborhood and you parallel park. There was one car, and you parallel in front of you, and you had a parallel park behind it. In Jersey, it was cones set up on both sides.
Right.
And it was fucking, dude, it was so nerve-wracking. I have no, like, there's this, it was a 23-year-old kid, like a Puerto Rican kid. I just took my driving test a few months ago as well.
Yeah,
like,
no, I know.
So
we're losers. We're both obviously pathetic human beings. You're 38, I'm 42. But as I said, I've had my driving license for almost 20 years. I just needed to upgrade it to the American one.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess that must be a, tell us in the comments, is it California? Is it that easy? Or was Michael Bisping intimidating the instructor?
Rebecca got the same thing. When she had her test, she said the same things, like 15 minutes, drive around in a corner. So now I'm giving Ellie driving lessons, you know, because I'm legal. I can do so now. So, there you go. I'm now a legal member of the road.
How old is Ellie now? She just turned 18, right?
18. She's driving.
I got my license. I got my permit the day I turned 16. Like, I could not wait to drive. So it's kind of crazy. Like, Callum got his license a little late too, right?
Callum, I think, he's been driving for a little bit now, but yeah, he was like 18 or 19. But I'm glad we are not rushing our children to drive. Cars are killing machines. They're death machines. So many people die every day. Let me tell you, when James tells you that he wants to start driving, yeah, listen, you're proud of him and it's a nice moment, but also, I mean, Callum, I love him dearly. He's upstairs. I tried to get him on the podcast, but he's got something to do. I was going to get him to zoom in from his bedroom. We can bust his balls.
What does he have better to do? It's infuriating.
He has work to do. But what was I saying? No. When he passed his test and he drove to Sacramento 5 hours in a car, I've been in the car with the guy, right? He can't drive. I'm not surprised. All you're going to do is start the fucking car here and they give you a license. Do you know what I mean? I was like, very erratic, very, very bad skills. And he's off on the fucking motorway for 5 hours driving to Sacramento. I was terrified. It's not good when your kids leave the nest in a high-powered vehicle.
Well, you also, when you're 16 years old, 17 years old, you feel like you're invincible. So I used to just drive recklessly like an idiot.
Fast.
You know, just it didn't matter. Like, I was such a moron. But now I'm like an old man.
Harrington says he has the answer for the most exotic listener.
Ooh, please, Harrington.
All right.
First of all, Harrington, can I just say, your presence appears kind of normal today.
Yeah, it's better.
And I don't like it. Except?
The one, Harrington, go into the camera. There's one long stray hair on the right side of his face.
Oh, I do see it on the left, or it would be the right of his face, yes.
He literally kicked himself out of the call when you started judging him.
Oh, my God. Harrington, show yourself. Come on.
He's not here right now.
He's left.
Yeah.
He's done a fucking Yuri Prohaska.
Yes. There he is. Look at that hair. Look at that long fucking gray hair, Harrington.
How did you leave the house like that? Shame on you.
But can you pull it out, please?
No.
Harrington, let me tell you, every time, because like when the podcast comes on, not all the time, but we watch it sometimes in bed and we have a laugh, Rebecca and I, and she always laughs her head off because every time we say Harrington and you come on, you've always got like glasses on, you've got like a weird vest on. You look like you're fucking some like misfit from some band from, you know, some, I don't know what you look like, but today you look very normal. And I haven't come to expect that. I expect the misfit Harrington.
I mean, everybody's got to grow up sometime, Mike.
Well, don't do it on my watch.
All right. I went into the analytics on the back end of our YouTube. And I pulled a couple of countries that we have a couple supporters in that you might not expect. Ghana.
Not too far from Uganda.
Ooh, he's a Ghana.
You're gonna wanna Ghana. Go on.
Had a couple.
Ghana.
France is in Ghana.
Ooh, go on.
We could go on all day, but I don't wanna.
Brunei.
Oh, well, is that where the Sultan's from?
Yes, sir.
Harrington, you look like a Sultan, I realized. If you gave Harrington a curvy sword and like a hat with a jewel in the front, it would be perfect.
I'll give him a little Insultan.
I liked it.
Okay, I like it as well. Go on. What else? What else?
It's
okay.
Jokes like that that will be in the live show this fall.
Ha! Yeah, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Insulted. Come on, come on, come on.
And then this was the one that I thought was certainly the most, you know, exotic place, because it's a country I've never heard of in Africa. Mauritius. Yeah.
Got Mauritius.
Ten supporters in Mauritius.
Only 10? People of Mauritius, stand up, be heard, be counted. We are fucking doing this podcast for you people. Mauritius, little island off the coast of Africa and in between India, I do believe. I know Mauritius well, never been there, but it is on the list.
Any other Mauritius facts that we could be educated with?
No, move on, quick. What was I going to say? Mother's Day yesterday, Lewis.
What'd you do for your wife?
Well, because now I can drive. I got out of bed nice and early. I went to Whole Foods. I was going to cook a breakfast.
You left.
Yeah, I said, I'm fucking done with this. No, I went to, because we were going to go out for brunch, right? Nice little brunch. I don't like using that word, but it's very popular out here. So still a late breakfast or an early lunch. Put it together, brunch. Anyway, we were going to go out. And I said, no, we can do better than this. I'm going to make something. So, and I said, I'll do a nice breakfast and then we'll cook a good dinner. So I went out, I went to Whole Foods, I got some pastries, I got some chocolate croissants, I got some bacon, some sausage, and just did it. I got some flowers, got a little mimosa action going on, you know what I mean? Laid a nice table, the kids came down, they all helped, put some music on, then Rebecca came down and we had a lovely breakfast. But when I was there, I also bought a big, massive piece of filet mignon, like a big piece of roast beef. So I was going to do a roast beef dinner with carrots, peas, gravy, Yorkshire puddings. Wow. Somebody on Twitter started talking about Yorkshire puddings and it just got it in my head. I need to have them. Please, but we got so full.
I'm fasting today and you're killing me right now.
I started my diet today. I did big time, but still, we're not going into it. But big time. Keto without the beer. It's been keto, a bit of beer, keto without the beer.
I'm keto and then 2 days of fasting. Let's go.
Listen, you need to, fuck the brunch talk. I got to tell you something, Lewis. This occurred to me the other day. What? I want to give you some advice.
What is that?
You're training for a fight against Jason Ellis in October, right? If you're training and you're doing keto, right, and you're fasting also, you're going to lose all, or if you have any, you're going to lose your muscle and you're going to lose power. And it's actually going to be detrimental to you. Because you need the carbohydrates after. I know you want to lose fat, so minimize the carbs. But after training, you need the carbohydrate. Because trust me, you're going to lose a lot of strength. You're going to lose a lot of power. If you had any in the first place, it's going to be non-existent. It's going to be minus power, negative 10 on the power. You need carbohydrate and you need to eat. Don't fast when you're training. There you go. Point said.
Can I? You're right.
I'm most absolutely correct.
People,
no, you want to lose weight.
I know how I feel. I feel better when I'm not eating carbs or sugar. I don't give a shit. Maybe there's some sort of allergy, some gluten thing, some sort of celiac disease. I have no idea. Me personally, I feel better when I'm lighter. I feel faster. I feel more powerful, explosive. Like so much better when I'm cutting out carbs completely, and it just makes me feel good. It's almost like you're right. If I was talking to a dietitian, they would say, yeah, you need carbohydrates before you work out, protein directly afterwards. If you're lifting weights, build muscle, blah, 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 blah. Yes. For me personally, if I have sugar or carbs, I feel fat and sluggish. I feel very slow.
It didn't stop me for the last 37 years, did it? God, I felt that bad.
But I'm coming out, baby. Vegas, I'm going to be out there in the beginning of June. So
I'm a very busy man. Lewis says, by the way.
You're training me and you're not going to fucking get out of this.
I'm a very busy man. Lewis says, I'm coming out. I'm staying for a week.
I volunteered you, Perillo, Callum, my wrestling coach.
Who is?
Callum.
Oh, yeah. No, Perillo, he hasn't got a million fighters to train. He's like, nope. You got to take Lewis on. You got to train Lewis for a little bit. Stop with those world-class fighters. Mackenzie Dern, never mind. Right, Rafael Dos Anjos, never mind that. Right, it's okay. Lewis is here. He's in town for a few days. He's not going to pay you anything.
I'll pay him. I'm not paying you shit, Bisping.
I've got things to do, people to see.
You've got nothing to do.
Escort.
at that point, it's a month from now, you'll be drinking beer again. You'll be...
You want me to escort Lewis around for a week? Fucking Jesus Christ, you know how much people would pay? Aspiring real martial artists, real aspiring mixed martial artists, what they would pay to come live at my house and have me escort them around and train them and take them to my facilities and my resources and give you advice and props. And what, I'm assuming you want my wife to cook dinner for you? You're going to sleep at my house? I'm going to get you up in the morning? I'm going to take you for runs? Guaranteed there's going to be no gas. And at the end of it, the real kick in the balls is going to be, they'll drop me off at LAX. Right, I'm not your fucking slave, bro. I'm sorry. I said to Rebecca, I said, after all this, he's gonna want me to drop him off at LAX. That's a 2-hour drive back on my own.
No,
get
no,
fucked.
I'll you drive into Uber. Orange County
Uber all day.
Yeah, yeah, you're right about all of this. I expect all of it, and that's what I need. I need the Bisping Elite. And you should look at me as like just dipping your toe into the training waters. I know you've talked about it for a while. You want to be a coach one day. Well, now you get to test the waters a little bit. Can you train Luis J. Gomez? Get me to the point where I could beat Jason Ellis.
No,
can you do it? It's on you.
I don't think I can do that.
You son of a bitch.
I can work miracles, but listen, even I have my limits to what I can achieve. So Mother's Day, what did you do? I know obviously your mother's not with us. What about James? Did you do anything fun?
I got a Ouija board. I contacted my mom. We lit some candles. It was pretty incredible.
I got abused on Twitter.
Why'd you get abused?
Because I went out there and I said, hey, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. You know, I said, my mom put up with a lot. You know, love you, mom. My wife, she's great, blah, 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 blah. And of course, to all the mothers out there, here's me thinking I'm spreading a bit of positivity into the world.
It's beautiful.
You know, trying to be nice. What the fuck are you doing, Bisping? It's not Mother's Day in England. You're fucking English. Ooh. What's with all this American
bollocks? Is there a separate Mother's Day?
There is.
When is it?
I don't know. May. Something, I think. Are we in May? We're in May, but I don't know. Maybe it was yesterday. My mom's crying right now.
Oh, no.
They're on different days. They're on different days. But I said, hold on a minute. What are you talking about? Number one, why come and give me shit? It's a beautiful message. Secondly, my children, even though born in England, live in America, so technically it's Mother's Day for them. Thirdly, my wife's Australian, and it's Mother's Day in Australia. So all together, you put that together. What do you got, Lewis? Pow, 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 pow. Go fuck yourselves.
Suck a duck, baby boy.
Why do people do that? Negative.
Because people, they just don't have anything better to do. And then you talk about it on a podcast and they feel like they've gotten seen. Like, you know, we got a shout out from Bisping on the podcast. Remember when we trashed
him? Get a shout out. You got the opposite of a shout out. I'm sending my Mauritius peeps over. Okay. I've got a gang of people in Mauritius that fucking take people out.
All 10 of them.
That's a gang. Okay. I got a few people. Where was it? Ghana? Ooh, I've got a contingent of people in Ghana. In fact, that's what I'm going to start doing now. Wherever people listen to the podcast, they're my backup. That's my gang.
I ended up having my son's mother over and my.
You ended up having your son's mother?
Over.
Oh, so over. Okay, continue.
I ended up having sex with my son's mother.
Well, that's incredible. How we came around in the first place. Come on.
No, we had her over. We made her breakfast. My aunt was there, who's you know, older, and my sister as well. And we made them French toast and eggs and fresh fruit and juice.
Nice.
And, you know, just a nice little. And then we went over to our good friend Robert Kelly. You remember the comedian who's been on the show before? He sent in the video for the Jake Paul picks. The fat guy.
I don't remember.
The fat guy. Bisping.
Who's the fat guy?
He's a comedian.
Did we have him on?
We've had him both on the show, and
well, he wasn't very funny because I don't remember him.
He's one of the funniest comics in the world. He's the best. But either way, Robert Kelly.
Oh, Robert Kelly. Oh shit, Robert Kelly. I know Robert.
Good.
No, I don't. Sorry,
that was the best
bad.
Acting Bisping's ever done right there. That moment.
Best acting I've ever done.
You could have gotten Kano had you done that in the audition.
Fuck. Oh my. Come on, mate.
So, we went over his house and we had a barbecue. It was awesome.
Oh, shit. There's Robert. Oh, God, of course. Listen, I've got to... I need to see the name. I'm terrible at remembering faces.
Real quick, we must take a moment and thank one of our sponsors, which is Hemp Fusion. And listen, I know our listeners, you know, we feel the same way. We are you. We are the people, okay? And all of us could use a good night's rest. Most of us don't get a good night's rest. Most of us have trouble sleeping. Now, look, sometimes... You throw on an episode of the Believe in Me podcast. When I'm not here, when Harrington's co-hosting, sure, throw it on. It'll put you right to sleep. But when I'm here, which is most of the time, you're going to need something else.
puts me right to sleep as well. It's fucking hard to stay awake. But seriously, yeah, we're talking about hemp fusion and we're talking about sleep support. We all know how important a good night's sleep is. Well, sleep support blends 10 milligrams of CBD, terpenes, omegas, GABA, black pepper, and clove oil. And together, they release the entourage effect, working together to deliver powerful benefits that equal well-rounded night's sleep. So listen, whether you're up late with the kids, listening to the podcast, whatever it is, with this stuff, you're going to float off into the land of Nod very, very nicely. You're going to wake up. You're going to have a beautiful sleep. I find I dream a lot on it as well, which is always fun. But then the next day you wake up, you feel nice and refreshed. Plus, that isn't all they do. Sleep support is one of their fantastic products, but they also got the stress support. They got the energy support. And they've also got a long line of CBD and wellness products. If you want to encourage a bit of anti-aging, well, they got stuff for that. If you've got eczema and you need some cream for it, they have that. They have all kinds of wellness products. If you go to the website hempfusion.com and check it out, you'll see there really is something for everybody on there. And of course, the big thing is that their CBD is of the highest quality and it's truly organic. A lot of places claim to be, but they're not. They have little loopholes where they get out of it. With Hemp Fusion, I was speaking to the guys recently, speaking to one of the founders, one of the doctors involved, and he was explaining it all to me. Very, very complicated, but the reality is these are 100% organic, non-GMO, all that good stuff. It's healthy. It's good for you, basically, Lewis.
It's great. I mean, everyone knows what CBD is at this point, but if we don't got to tell you, it really does help your body. I'm using it regularly. Bisping, use it regularly. I didn't believe it at first. I swear to God, I was like, what is this? It made no sense, but it really does make a massive difference. Do a little research and see if it can help you and your loved ones.
Another one that I really like is the pain relief balm, right? Okay, and listen, you're thinking pain relief balm, that's nothing new. I'm telling you, this is the best one you'll ever try. The thickness of it, I think, is what gives it away. Rub it on. My neck's killing, still killing. I need to go back to the neck doctor and figure out what's going on, but still the pain relief balm is getting me through it. If you've got some ailments or you just want to get your body in homeostasis, you want to feel better, you want to not be stressy, you want more energy, or you want to sleep, whichever one it is, hempfusion.com. Use the code COUNT at checkout. You're going to get 25% off and free shipping. So one more time, website is hempfusion.com and that code is COUNT and you get 25% off. So that's a pretty good deal. Check it out, enjoy, and all right, let's get back into it. Talking of terrible acting or good acting, whichever way you want to slice it, we may have seen some last week. We did the podcast on Thursday and as soon as we hang up, and we hate to discuss this certain person, but unfortunately we are being forced to talk about Jake Paul.
No. Bisping, you owe money to the Jake Paul fund.
Listen, I'm talking more about Floyd Mayweather, actually. The topic, okay. My angle, I'm coming at it. I want to talk about Floyd Mayweather, right? Please. But it just happens to involve Jake Paul. So they had the press conference. Obviously, Logan Paul and Floyd are going to fight, which again is still crazy. When you see them weigh up, stare down one another, Logan Paul's so much bigger than him. But Brian, I sent you that video. Before we get into what happened with Jake Paul, Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather are on the stand and they're, doing the press conference bit and talking a bit of shit, I guess. And Logan Paul went there, shall we say.
Let's see.
Do you think this is a low blow, Lewis?
Let's see, please.
I know what he did to the country of Japan. I know what he did to Japan. So guess what? You have to pay for what you did to Japan.
Is this you trying to rally an entire country around you?
So.
Well, I know what you did to your wife.
One thing about.
Ooh.
It's 50-0. Nah, he's 51-1. He beat his wife, too.
He's entitled to feel how he want to feel, say what he want to say.
That's about it. But you know what I mean?
Wow.
I know what you did to your wife. Floyd says he's 50-0. I don't know why he said 51-1. He should have said 51-0. He should have said 51-0, unless his wife beat him up. But still, I was like, whoa. So it's I'm not surprised now because I only saw that this morning because I didn't understand why Floyd Mayweather lost his shit the way that he did. Because everyone, unless you're living under a stone, you must have seen it by now. Jake Paul and Floyd square up, and then Jake steals the hat, got your hat, and then runs away, which I got to say, it's kind of funny. It was kind of funny. I laughed. But Floyd Mayweather should have just stood there, took it, said nothing, and then it wouldn't have been funny. It would have just made Jake Paul look kind of silly and very, very immature and childlike. But that's not what happened. Floyd Mayweather lost his fucking shit. And I couldn't understand it. And we saw when Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather went on that world tour and they did four different cities, and, you know, come on, Conor was talking a lot of shit. Conor pushed his buttons. You know what I mean? There was, he's ruffled his head. He actually touched him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And Floyd sat there cool as a cucumber. Never even responded, never lost his cool or whatever. And that's what he's been known for, his composure. But fuck me, there was no composure on Thursday afternoon last week when that happened.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, first of all, definitely a low blow. Definitely, in my opinion, you know, I shouldn't say, you know, shouldn't say too far. It's a fight. You're going to fight each other. What's too far, right? But Logan Paul just ensured that he's going to get knocked the fuck out in a round. Whereas I don't know that Floyd was, you know, toying with Conor, but I think Floyd was trying to put on a show with Conor both before and during the fight. I think Floyd, like, you know, he made it a competitive fight because Floyd was in control the whole time. You know, Conor had a couple moments, but very, you know, very few.
Yeah.
And, I get the sense that Floyd just sort of like, you know, made it a more of a competitive fight than it needed to be because he's that good. But with, if you go there, Logan Paul, I mean, dude, I think he's going to just, within a minute, just flatline him.
Yeah, but I don't know if he will, because look at the size difference. Oh, and now on. I'm like, I don't know. Listen, the reason I'm saying that is because I think Floyd Mayweather's got something going on. Play that other video, Brian, where he absolutely loses his mind, right?
Kill it, motherfucker!
This is after the hat incident.
This is after the hat incident, and he's running around in his, I gotta say, rather questionable outfit.
I like
the shorts
it.
And the shell suit. It's like an 80s shell suit, but somebody's chopped the pants off. I don't like it. It's like, it looks like a bad tennis player. But still, whatever, you know?
He looks like a Miami Dolphins cheerleader.
He probably does. He's more stylish than me, though, so what can I say? Who am I to judge? But, I don't know what is going on with Floyd Mayweather, because there was another picture. It was like, it was zoomed in on his face. He looked very puffy, right? His hair was unkempt. He's grown the hair back. He's got the beard. Do you know what I mean? And he looks, I don't know. From what I saw, I'm seeing a man that is, doesn't resemble the man that we saw when he fought Conor, right? Doesn't resemble the cool, calm, collected person that he is. He's very calculated, Floyd Mayweather. You know, this guy is very erratic. I don't know what's going on in his personal life, his private life, if there's any substance abuse. I'm not saying there is, but I don't know. But there's something going on. He is fucking losing the plot lately.
There's probably some substance abuse. But I mean, look, this is not Ben Askren. I know I was wrong. I'll leave
you
my shit
wrong.
On out.
It was right.
You were right. You were the only one in the MMA community that
only one.
The only one. I'll give it to you, okay? But you are out of your fucking mind if you think that Logan Paul is going to beat Floyd Money Mayweather in a boxing match. You're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. I'll bet you anything in the world. Anything. I'll suck Harrington's dick on this show if that happens.
Listen. I wasn't going to take the bet. I wasn't going to take the bet because I am not. I'm not overly confident in Logan Paul beating Floyd Mayweather for very fucking obvious reasons. I don't need to go through them. But on the chance of me looking like a fool and you sucking Harrington's dick, that's a bet I'm willing
to
take.
But what are you putting against it, though?
Not sucking anyone's dick, that's
no,
for damn sure.
One of your
cups.
Rolexes.
One of my cups.
No, I don't want one of your cups.
I'll give you a SpongeBob cup.
I want a Rolex.
I'll give you a signed copy of Quitters Never Win. I'll give you some Believe You Me merchandise, which will be on the way soon.
I want an antique mirror from the Wall of Mirrors.
Oh, God. Oh, I don't know about that either. They're pretty treasured in our house. All right, listen. We said we weren't going to talk Jake Paul or Logan Paul or Floyd. But still, they forced us into it. There was, of course, UFC action at the weekend. And we do have a lot of notes and news to get into. Real quick, we'll talk about this more on Thursday. But apparently the fight between Jack Hermanson and Edmund Shahbazyan, which was bumped up. Oh, pardon me. Bumped up from the prelims at the weekend to the main card. because that Nate Diaz and Leon Edwards fight got cancelled. But that's cancelled now as well. Harrington, you just threw this in last minute. Do you have any more factoids of information regarding that?
No, there was no reason given. The only thing it said in the press release is that the fight is being moved to later in the month, May 22nd, the Cody Garbrandt versus Rob Font card.
Okay. All right. Or do you know what we should get into, actually, before we talk about the fights of the weekend and whatever stuff? The boxing fight, Canelo Alvarez versus Billy Joe Saunders. Congrats to Canelo Alvarez. He went out there, he beat Billy Joe Saunders. I think it was the eighth round. It was a stoppage due to a fractured orbital. You know, I hit him with a good shot. Canelo turned it on in the eighth round. I know you didn't see it. We're not going to break down the final.
I saw the eighth round. He, dude, Canelo's, first of all, he's a scary individual, dude. He's like... Did he get more jacked recently?
He's jacked. I don't know about more jacked, but he is. He's always been kind of jacked, and he's always been incredibly hard hitting. But man, that eighth round, as you were about to say, Lewis, he was devastating in that eighth round. Fuck me. When he decided to just, right, I'm turning it on. I'm taking you out of here. I'm not saying that he was toying with him the whole time, but he was kind of taking his time, getting his, reading him, getting the timing, all the rest of it. And when he turned it on in the eighth round, fucking hell, he was absolutely devastating. But it was a stoppage because of the end of the eighth round. He said he had a fractured orbital. I don't know. Harrington and Brian, I think you guys tried to isolate the audio for us, and the reason I wanted to talk about this is because there's a difference in what would have happened in some MMA fights. I mean, we've seen MMA fighters go out there and almost get decapitated and be bloody absolutely covered in blood and broken noses and all the rest of it, and their corner still say, yep, go on, off you pop, you're good buddy, you're good, out you go.
I don't think there's any man alive who could take a fractured orbital and keep fighting.
Well, I know
you'd have to be superhuman.
I mean, yeah, but the only problem is, like, this guy I know had a fractured orbital, but the other eye, he was blinded, so he only had one eye, and he broke the orbital of the one eye that he had, you know, and he still continued to fight, and he still won the fight against Dan Henderson.
Won the fight,
a world title fight.
Who was that? That had to be Anderson Silva.
Manchester.
Who was that?
Yeah, no, it was me, but I put a picture on social media this morning, actually, because I was looking for something and it popped up. I do not look pretty. But I was going to say, a lot of the times in mixed martial arts, they would let that fight continue, you know, because a fractured orbital, obviously you can't be, people don't have x-ray vision, you can't see that, you know, so the fighters are... or the cornermen are encouraged to help their fighters out. But Brian O'Harrington, did you get the audio or have actually what was said, Lewis?
Do you know while they pull that up, when you have a fractured orbital, do you know you have a fractured orbital? Like when it happens, are you like, oh, there we go?
No, well, that picture that I put on my Instagram today isn't even as bad as how it became later. But Henderson hit me with a big right hand in the first round and the second round, and it swelled up hugely. Right. And it swelled up so bad. This eye actually closed shut and I actually had to move around like that just to see a little slither of Dan Henderson. But to answer your question, no, I had no idea. Now, I'm assuming anyone looking at me could tell that it was bad. It was certainly worse than Billy Joe's there. I mean, it was significantly worse than that. It was 25 times worse than that. In fact.
Where's the image? Pull up the image that Bisping posted.
No. Oh, no, I was going to... Somebody sent me this oil painting. There's the eye there, but still you can't see that on the audio version, so I do apologize.
Oh, stop.
Yes, there we go.
Stop.
Yeah, and that swelled up even worse, actually. And I remember afterwards, Dana was trying to send me to the doctor, and I'm in my dressing room in my underpants saying, no, I'm fine. And Dana's like, well, you don't look fine. You got to go to the doctor, Michael. So, Harrington, you were saying that they pulled up the X-ray. Or Brian said that Billy Joe Saunders, they x-rayed his eye.
That was Brian. What I was talking about before was Billy Joe Saunders having the conversation with his corner. So apparently, his cornerman is saying.
Sorry. That's what I meant. Go on, Brian. Sorry, Harrison. Yeah.
Right. So he was coming over, checking in, you know, with his fighter. He had the badly swollen shot eye. And, you know, in the course of that conversation, he said he didn't think that Billy Joe Saunders was able to continue. You know, and made that decision call himself. You can see Billy Joe Saunders continually mouthing the word no, 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 as Davis is going to make the call.
And which I understand, you know, and I respect Billy Joel Saunders for that. And often the case in those times, it is the corner that want to do it. And that's what just kind of struck me, because Jason Perillo stopped the fight when BJ Penn fought George St. Pierre for the second time, I believe it was. Perillo threw the towel in, right? Because he could see where the fight was going, right? And all that was going to happen was BJ was going to take more damage, you know, and it's not going to do him any good. He's not going to win this fight, so I throw the towel in. And you do see that more and more in boxing. And I think we've had this conversation before, but that was a bit of a black eye, a little bit of swelling to Billy Joel there. It didn't look too bad. It wasn't like me. It wasn't like I did five rounds looking at that. Different. That picture you saw before happened in the first round. Go on.
Devil's advocate.
Devil's avocado.
You were in a competitive fight. You won the fight. Billy Joel Saunders wasn't winning the fight. He was at that point, he was just taking damage.
You only saw the eighth round. The seven before it were pretty close.
Was it?
Yeah, no, it was. It was. I would say Billy Joel certainly won a few, and even the rounds that Canelo did win, which he won the majority of, they were close rounds. They weren't like big landslides. It was a competitive fight.
Okay. All right. No. I mean, everyone's just talking about how Canelo killed him, but I guess that's because of the end result.
Exactly.
Yeah, Canelo took over in the seventh and the eighth. Okay, yeah, look, so I guess, I stand corrected. That does mean something. You know, he had to dig deep and obviously do something. But look, if he's fucking, he's not Michael Bisping, baby boy, you know.
Well, that's not what I'm saying. That's not where I was going. I was just saying, it's not. I was just saying it's an interesting observation. And that's how I still feel that mixed martial arts, whilst I'm supremely passionate about it, I'm not knocking mixed martial arts. I'm really not. But I still feel we have some evolution. This is a young sport. Boxing's been around for hundreds of years, you know, and people throw the towels in all the time. Corners routinely stop fights. You don't really see that. I remember Anthony Smith passing his fucking teeth to the referees. Excuse me, hold on one minute, Glover. Just hold those teeth for me, boss. All right, crack on. You know, in boxing, that would have been over.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, so were you saying that you think that they should stop the fights more in MMA?
I'm not saying either way. I'm saying, I've certainly seen instances where fights should have been stopped by the corner. Fighter won't. The fighter, that is inherently in them. That's part of their spirit. That's why they do it in the first place. Quitters never win, right? You know?
That was organic. That was amazing. Where did you get the Segway Award?
It's Segway Award, yeah. Yeah, best Segway in the business. Didn't get it last year, though. Maybe next year with that one though, but still, but quitters do not win. So the fighters, they always want to continue. It's up to the cornermen to step in and be the bad guy.
Save them from themselves.
Save them from themselves. That's what fighters need. And again, I'm not knocking MMA. I'm not. I'm just saying I've noticed. Like I remember when Anthony Smith, his coach, Mark Montoya, there was another one. What's his name? I forget. Mike Davis beat him up, and Mark Montoya was in the corner of his fighter. And again, I was saying this fight needs to be stopped. And generally, you just don't see it. I mean, you do see it on occasion, but it's very rare. And as I say, I haven't really got a statement either way. But I was like, you don't really see it in MMA, and you should. You should, because what are you saving them from? All right, I guess in Canelo's case or Billy Joel's case, there was a lot at stake there. That was a huge fight. But even still there, he said, stop the fight. Sometimes in MMA, if it's on the undercard, it's an undercard fight, right? They're going to live to fight another day. There's not a world title fight on the line. You know, listen, today's not your day. Call it a day. Let them win. Go home. Brush yourself off. And you come back and do better next time.
Yeah. And you're not having, you know, possibly years of your career shaving off your life for taking a bad beating, which is a very real thing.
That's what I'm saying. And you just don't see, you do see it on occasion, but it's pretty rare you see that.
Is there something in the culture of MMA? Because I remember back in the day when we had Perillo on, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was, you didn't say as much, but you essentially alluded to the BJ Penn towel throwing in sort of being like a touchy subject. You didn't say not to talk about it, but I just remember at the time, I don't remember exactly but I remember just feeling like, oh, I don't want to bring this up because I don't want it to. And I feel like in boxing, we've seen the towel thrown in so many times. That's just the way fights stop very, very often. But in MMA, is that at the very least, was it considered sort of like a touchy subject?
No, I don't think it was. I don't think it was at all. Maybe I was trying to pick the correct, respectful words because I know BJ and Perillo, they have got a great relationship. They're very close friends as well. And you know how it is with friends sometimes, you know, you love them and you hate them at the same time. Right. I didn't want to say it and it seemed like I was, oh, remember when BJ got his fucking ass kicked and you stepped in?
Right.
So I wanted to be respectful with my choice of words. But you know, it's funny. I just remembered because you were talking about throwing the towel in and that's what you do. You do see it in boxing. Can you remember the last time you saw a towel thrown into the cage?
I believe it's illegal.
You can't do it.
Corner stoppage, though, we've seen in recent memory.
Yeah, you go on, give me an example.
We have. No, I remember.
No, I know we have, but I just can't.
I can't remember the specific example, but yeah, I remember
Deontay Wilder's corner stopped the fight, if I'm not mistaken.
No, in MMA he's talking about.
Oh.
Yeah, Deontay. Yeah, that's right. There's another one. But I've got a little funny anecdote. Well, it's not an anecdote, just quick on that note. Not an anecdote, just a quick on that note. Fuck me. Come on.
Also, John Anik should have a web series called Anecdotes.
Anecdotes. Oh, my God, he should. That would be
really
good.
He really should.
One of my fights at Cage Warriors back in the day, I was filling the guy in pretty good. And their corner tried.
Whoa, can you please pull that as a clip?
I was
filling the guy in pretty
hard,
good.
Fast.
Deep. Shout out Blue Chew.
Vicious. BlueChew.com. Use the code. No. And his corner was trying to throw the towel in, right? But the towel kept hitting the top of the fucking cage and falling back down. And they tried like five times. Do you know what I mean?
But were you watching it?
No, I didn't know. I'm too busy filling that guy in good and sexual. You know what I mean?
You're like, hey, I need a towel.
I was having a great time. I'm like, hey, I've just finished. Anyone got a towel? It came over right when I needed it. But still, anyway, there you go. Should we talk about, I mean, do we even have this video to watch? Harrington of Joshua Fabian Diego Sanchez, because I said I wasn't going to talk about. Dude, have you seen this video?
It's psychotic. I can't
have
even.
Have you seen the video?
It's crazy. Yeah, no, not for nothing. I am such a fan of, the Diego Sanchez is a fucking legend, right? And he's a great fighter, and he's been around forever, and he's been in wars, and he's been in some of these, like, really, like, you know, just amazing, you know, fights that are, like, you know, iconic. You know, iconic fights. He's an iconic guy. I think probably one of the oldest tenured fighters in the UFC. And to have him go out this way. Are you talking about the video from the actual press conference? What are you talking
this
about?
This one.
No, I haven't seen this at all. What is this?
Watch this. This is, for the audio listeners, Diego Sanchez is dangling upside down off a boxing rope rig, like the metal frame. Diego's upside down. He's covering his hands with his eyes, so he's essentially blind. And Joshua Fabia is kicking him repeatedly, slapping him in the face.
Yo, these guys
what
are
is
into
that?
Some kinky shit. He's about to fill him in real good.
They're oiled up. Their shirt off. They're almost naked. Even the lighting is very suggestive.
And I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I'm saying I love the fact.
Hey, go to it. Fucking this is a sexual foreplay.
Do what you gotta do.
Hey,
bro.
Fucking hell. Whatever floats your boat. I don't
care.
This seems
like it's about to turn into a Lil Nas X video.
Hey, listen, I said I wouldn't talk badly. I'm not, but listen. But that was a solid kick as well with the shin.
No, it's actually not bad kicks. I was going to say, he looks like he's in good shape. Like, look, the reality is this. Diego Sanchez, you know, to have his UFC career end the way it's ending because this fucking guy can't just tap it in. Just tap it in. It's his last fight. Just fucking tap it in. Shut up.
A little tap-tappy. Little tap-tap-a-roo, okay? What you don't do is hang upside down and let someone kick you in the head repeatedly. Bizarre. We'll leave it at that. Don't want to get into it too much, but guess what? This is why I should definitely be in the running for Segway of the Year, because Diego Sanchez was supposed to fight, as we know, Donald Cowboy Cerrone. Diego was pulled from the fight and fired from the UFC, had his contract dismissed. Then stepping in at short notice, we had Alex Morono. He stepped into the fold, and unfortunately, we saw once again Donald Cerrone get stopped inside the first round against Alex Morono. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Segue, Diego, hanging upside down to the action at the weekend. Flawless victory, okay? Did you see the fight?
Yeah, I did. Look, Donald looked good in the fight. It's not like he was competitive in the fight. You know, he had his moments.
If you call getting stopped inside the first round good, then yeah, great. He looked sensational.
Well, he looked competitive in the first round.
So good.
He
ended
stopped.
In the first.
But yeah, I mean, look, dude, Morono, he hit him hard. And he was just hurt there. I mean, there's not much more to the story there. You know, it's, you know, well, Donald Cerrone, he's sort of at the end of his career. We know that.
He's definitely at the end. Listen, Morono is a young guy. He's a guy on the rise. Okay. He's a very good fighter. He's got good skills. He kind of brawls. He's a black belt in Taekwondo, which I found quite surprising because the way he fights, I'm not saying he's not skilled, but he likes to brawl a little bit. Mm. What Morono did, which I thought was smart on his side, was he started the fight extremely fast, much like Conor McGregor versus Donald Cerrone. He went at him immediately. As soon as the referee said fight, boom, he was on him. Because it's well known, historically, Cerrone is always a slow starter, you know. But then as the fight progresses, and some people are just like that. Some people need to take a few licks before they really get into gear. But unfortunately for Cerrone, against McGregor and against Morono at the weekend, it was too much. He couldn't get going. Morono put it on him pretty good, connected with a couple of big wild right hands. And it was a standing stoppage. Referee did a good job there, saved Cerrone from any more damage. Great win for Alex Morono. And I wish him all the best, and we're going to see him again. And he's a solid addition to the welterweight division, and I'm excited to see what he does next. But what I really want to talk about is Cerrone, really, you know, because now he's lost. I mean, how old is he? I think he's 36, maybe 38. I'm not sure. I think I have 36 in my head for some reason. He's lost six in a row now.
Is it that many?
He's lost six in a row. There was one no contest in Nico Price, but I think that was only because Nico Price tested positive or something, or smoked weed. I'm not sure what the situation is there, Harrington. But yeah, he's lost six in a row. Let me just bring up his wiki 1 second, Donald Cerrone. And I think four of them might have been knockouts. When you lose six in a row and four of them are knockouts, Alex Morono knockout, Nico Price overturned, Anthony Pettis, Conor McGregor, TKO, Justin Gaethje. No, Nico Price. Price was deducted 1 point. Oh, it was a draw because he got deducted 1 point. But then originally a majority draw, overturned after Nico Price tested positive for marijuana. So essentially it was a draw, but he should have lost, but he had a point deducted. But still, Justin Gaethje knocked him out. Tony Ferguson, Dr. Stoppage. Six in a row without a win, you know. And, of course, the first question people are going to ask somebody like Cerrone in that situation is, are you going to hang it up? And he said, no, I'm not. There's no way I'm going to go out like that. He doesn't want to end his career on losing six fights in a row.
So he loses seven fights in a row.
Well, exactly. Do you know what I mean? Where do you go? Listen, I get it. I admire that attitude. I do. And of course, as all fighters, you don't want to go out. I mean, Cerrone is a legend of the game. Right, we don't need to go through his resume. The man is OG. He's been around for a long time. Come from the WEC. Always in exciting fights, you know?
Yeah.
But the reality is he can't cut it anymore at the highest level. That's not to say that he can't still beat people. That's not to say he's not a talented fighter. But it's to say that his heyday is behind him, right? And what's left now? All right, maybe he can make some more money, but get some more injuries, take more blows to the head, get more concussions, potentially lose an eye. You know, at some point, you've got to know when to walk away. And he's got nothing more to prove right now. Donald Cerrone's been there, done it, got the T-shirt. He has won the respect of everybody, okay? Nobody doesn't respect Donald Cerrone through his fighting ability. You look at him, you say, yeah, he's a warrior of the octagon. Simple as that. He has earned his place. But he's now outstaying his place because I believe he should think long and hard about stepping away. Because I don't want to see that. I don't want to see seven in a row. I don't want to see eight in a row. I don't want to see him face down on the canvas, unconscious. I don't want to see him slurring his words in 10 years' time. Much like me, I slur a little bit, and I see your comments in the YouTube. Go fuck yourselves. But yeah, it's a weird one for Cerrone. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, I always feel very strange, you know, especially speaking to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have a level of respect for fighters where the perspective became very real once I started doing this show with you. So from the layman's perspective, I never like to say, oh, this guy should hang it up, this guy shouldn't hang it up, right? Because I think that's just disrespectful. On one hand, I think Donald Cerrone, if he still has that fight in him and he still wants to compete, you know, if that's what he loves to do, then yeah, maybe, you know, should he do it in the UFC? Should he do it at the highest level? No, but maybe, you know, fuck it, dude, go somewhere else, you know, compete, make money, do what you want to do. if he still has that drive and desire, who am I or who are you or who is anyone else to tell him not to go and do that? His family, his loved ones, maybe his you know, his close inner circle, maybe they'll have a separate conversation. But I don't think that we're going to see Donald Cerrone turn things around in the UFC. And I think the UFC should be the elite. Everyone competing in the UFC should be working toward a UFC title. And if they're not, then they're not part of this infrastructure of UFC being a legitimate sport.
I agree with most of what you said. I disagree with going away to somewhere else, because in terms of tarnishing his legacy, nothing would tarnish it more than if he went to fight on regional promotions and started losing there. He is a well-respected member of the UFC roster, and he should finish his career there. I just feel that his career, he should think long and hard about calling it a day right now. He doesn't, as I say, what else is he going to fight for? Is he trying to win people's respect? The reality is, and I hate to say it, it's just a fact, he's not going to become champion anymore. You know what I mean? That those ships have sailed, okay? As they do for everybody. Those ships sail for almost everybody, unless Khabib Nurmagomedov or George St. Pierre or some, you know what I mean? Or Floyd Mayweather. Most people, those ships sail. They don't even say goodbye. They leave you fucking unconscious face down on the canvas. He's a cruel mistress. So he's not going to do that. He's had a tremendous amount of fights. He's got the experience. He's got the respect, all that stuff. Apparently, he comes from a very wealthy family, from what I'm led to believe. I don't know that for a fact.
Sorry?
And he's earned, yeah, apparently so. Yeah,
I would not expect that at all. He comes off as like a redneck country dude.
Yeah. No, I don't know if it's accurate. Somebody told me once, yeah. Oh, no, apparently he's, you know, he's, I don't know if they're fucking ridiculously loaded, but, you know, they're landowners. They got a ranch. He has a ranch, doesn't he, down there? I don't know. Mm. I always thought he bought the ranch, but somebody said that. He's had a tremendous amount of fights, 36 wins. 16 losses, that's 52 professional fights. Kickboxing, 29 kickboxing fights. That's a fucking, he's had a lot of combat in his life. It's a lot of blows to the head. I'm not going to tell the man to retire. I respect him too much. I'm just saying that if he walked away right now and called it a day, he's definitely going to be in the Hall of Fame. You know, he'll always be a man that's going to be remembered. And I'm just not sure I want to see him go out there because he's got nothing to prove. I mean, listen, he can still... So fight well. The fight against Ali Quinta was incredible. I thought Al was going to be too much, and he went out there and he beat Al. And as we know, Al is as tough as they come as well, you know. But I think Cerrone needs to be honest with himself. Be honest with himself. Yeah. There you go.
Well, look, no matter what happens, you know, good luck to Donald Cerrone. I'm a fan of his. I met Donald Cerrone once. I did a podcast with him years ago, just some random podcast. And he's a cool guy, man. A little bit intimidating. He sort of has almost a little bit of a chip on his shoulder when you're sitting next to him.
Yeah. No, it's funny because Diego Sanchez's coach keeps sending me private messages and he was talking shit about Cerrone as well. At the weekend.
Fabia sending you messages?
I'm staying out of it, but I have a lot of messages. I'm like, why do you keep sending them to me?
That reminded me. What happened with Dylan Danis? He tweeted at you?
Oh, God. Fuck Dylan Danis.
Speaking of people, crazy people messaging you, what happened?
Yeah, no. So he tweets, should I settle the beef with Bisping? Should we do an Instagram live? Like there's a beef? There is no beef. I tweeted out verbatim. This was my tweet. I said, there is no beef, Dylan. I don't know you, nor have I even ever laid eyes on you, right? You are nothing but an online troll. You don't fight. You're as insignificant as a bothersome fly on a summer's day.
Devil's advocate.
Devil's avocado.
That response sounds like you have a beef.
Don't have a beef. That's me saying there is no beef. There's no beef. I don't know the guy. How can we be a beef? We haven't ran into each other. We haven't partied at a club and he said something I didn't like. I don't know him. He doesn't fight. He doesn't do shit. I don't know what he does. He just has a very annoying mustache. Okay. And he needs to leave me alone because I'm going to slap the motherfucker. I'll slap him.
There's no beef.
No beef. No, there's no beef. Why are you bringing him up? Fuck that guy. all right, let's just take a quick second to hear from PaleoValley.com. You know the score. You're hungry. You walk into a gas center. Gas center? They don't exist. You walk into a gas station. You say, I'm on a keto diet. I'm trying to lose weight. You pick something up. What has it got inside it? Bromine? Oils, bad shit, mechanically separated chicken, GMOs for days, organic, no, the opposite of organic, toxic, chemically enhanced. Beef jerky is what you're going to get at the gas station.
PaleoPelly.com. I go to gas centers all the time. Okay.
Yeah.
I do. And I'm at
the gas studios.
I'm at the gas studios. Okay. But it really is true. It's one of my favorite treats. If you guys are health conscious at all, or even if you're not, it's just a delicious, tasty treat. It's salty. It's fucking beef jerky. We all love it. We've all had it. But you know what it tastes like when you get it elsewhere. It's like chewy dog treats. This stuff tastes absolutely amazing. I think we need to spend a little more time talking about how delicious Paleo Valley beef sticks are.
Yeah, they are delicious, Luce, but you're forgetting there's some people out there. They might actually want cancer. Okay, so they go to the gas center, they get the beef jerky that's cheap, right? Because they want cancer, okay? Yeah. You don't know that people are trying to avoid cancer. Also, you don't know that they're trying to avoid unhealthy inflammation. You don't know they don't want weight gain. They don't want blood sugar issues or mechanically separated chicken.
Bisping, you could convince me that I need bromine in my life.
I don't even know what bromine is.
It sounds like it builds muscle. I was like, oh, you taking bromine after your workouts?
Sounds like a delicious ingredient to a homemade chicken noodle soup. Okay. Ooh, stick a bit of bromine in there. It's going to be nice. Bone broth is what I'm thinking of. But listen, the 100% grass-fed beef sticks from Paleo Valley. We always have fun with this one, but they're fantastic. They really are. They're made in the USA from 100% grass-finished beef with all organic spices. Plus, we use the old world method of fermenting our sticks. So they are made shelf stable without the use of chemicals, as we said, or questionable ingredients. And of course, like Louis said, the main thing is they taste bloody good. They're very healthy. They're good for you. Mm. Nice source of protein. Good on the go. Good for the kids. Good for the pocket as well. Because if you go to paleovalley.com and you use the code BELIEVE15, you're going to get 15% off. So you want to lose weight? You want to get in shape? You want to save some money? PaleoValley.com, BELIEVE15 is the code. You're going to get 15% off your first order. Okay, enjoy those sticks. Where were we? Should we discuss main event?
Sure.
Michelle Waterson, come on, how can you not love Michelle Waterson? She's awesome. She is. I love everything about her. She's so nice. She's so friendly. She's a mother. She's a great wife.
She's a badass.
And she's a hell of a fucking fighter. She's been in there with all the best people on the planet, you know, at her weight. You're Jacek, who else? I mean, the list goes on, right? She's been in there with bloody all of them. Didn't get the job done Saturday night, and you're okay. Marina Rodriguez is, you know, she's a beast. She's the real deal. She is, and she's going to be a really interesting addition to those top three. And by the top three, I mean Rose, Joanna, and Zhang Weili. Well, now they got a fourth dance partner because I believe she belongs to be in those conversations after Saturday night. Mm. She was just too much for Michelle. You know, now Michelle certainly had a moment. She was using the sidekick a lot. Now the sidekick is a good kick to keep someone at bay, right? I've been sidekicked all day, just like push kicks. A lot of push kicks, they don't hurt. And sidekicks don't necessarily hurt. Now, I know there's a lot of karate people that are probably going to say, what are you talking about? Push kicks can really hurt. Yeah, they can. Kyokushin, front snap kick to the solar plexus will take the wind out of you, done properly. But a lot of the times, the teep is a push. They push you away to keep distance. And the sidekick, a lot of times, if you're advancing forward, advancing like a stepping sidekick, I can kick someone off their feet. But a lot of times, when you're moving backwards and you're pumped, and you push that sidekick out like Michelle was doing, it's to maintain distance and maintain range to stop the fucking person coming forward and swarming you and knocking your head off. Unfortunately for her, she wasn't able to do that at all times. Marina did unload quite a lot, landing with a lot of good shots. But again, Michelle, she's just so fucking tough. Even landed that head kick, brought up the big swelling on the face of Rodriguez. Yeah. I thought Michelle did herself proud, but of course it was a really, really good performance from Marina Rodriguez.
Yeah, I mean, if Marina Rodriguez comes in and sets the division on fire and wins a title, then obviously it's almost like, you know, no shame for Michelle Waterson, right? But look, she lasted all five rounds. She wasn't able to put her away. You know, I don't know if that is a, you know, commentary on Marina Rodriguez not being able to finish her or how tough Michelle Waterson is. But it was a really entertaining fight. Honestly, it was good. I enjoyed it. Yeah. I'm now a fan of Marina Rodriguez. I didn't really know her before this fight. I think she did a lot. Because Michelle Waterson is also, like, at this point, she's been around for a long time as well. You forget that Michelle Waterson's sort of a household name in the mixed martial arts community. So I think Marina Rodriguez also just, it was a great opponent for her to sort of showcase herself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, of course. I had somebody reach out to me recently. I got all excited and tickled pink. The message started off, there's a very famous director directs a lot of martial arts movies. And he says, hi, I'm reaching out on behalf of director such and such. He asked me to send you a message. He wants to get in touch. And I'm like, oh, movie part, here we go. He's like, no, they're trying to get hold of Michelle Waterson. I'm like, you motherfucker, didn't you just start the message saying that? Do you know what I mean? I thought I was landing a movie. Michelle's been around for, you know, not forever, but she's a solid addition. Couldn't get finished by Ioana Yonge. She's tough. She's really, really good. But wasn't her night Saturday night. What should we do next? Should we discuss this nose break from Michael Venom Page?
Yeah, sure. Let's all do plugs real quick in the meantime.
Okay, go ahead.
We reset. Take a moment, guys. You love the show. Go to our iTunes. Leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. Tell some friends about the show. Turn it on in a car. You're going on a car ride with a friend. Throw the podcast on. Let them know. Introduce the Believe You Me podcast to your closest friends. They will probably love it as well. Also, go to our YouTube channel. Leave us a little notification, or hit the notification button. You get a notification every time we drop a new episode, which is Mondays and Thursdays at midnight Eastern. And also, if you guys want the entire on-demand library, grab it at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get a 7-day free trial. Save $1.50 a month in the premium service. And obviously, me and Michael Bisping will be in England by an evening with Michael Bisping. Tales from the Octagon. Going to be in six different cities now, right?
Five, I believe. London, Manchester, Birmingham, Glasgow, Dublin.
Five. I can't count.
Five.
Go to my
ticket.co.uk.
I got a baby boy. And I have some live stuff coming up as well. Go to lewisofskanks.com. I'm going to be everywhere from Vegas, San Diego, gigs coming up in Connecticut, Jersey, Austin, Texas. I'll be down in Austin at the end of the month.
Nice. I might be going to Austin soon, actually.
When?
I don't know when it is. My agent's stag do, bachelor party. Yeah, Austin for a few days. So I'm trying to go. I'm trying to convince the missus to let me go. I don't need to convince her of shit. What did I say? Edit that bit out, Brian. I'm going to Texas.
I bought her a fucking horse. I'm going to Texas anytime I want.
Because I wear the pants in this relationship. No. So Bellator was on. We don't really talk too much Bellator because I have a hard time keeping up with everything. The PFL was on last week. There's so much MMA on these days. It is hard. And obviously, as a UFC commentator, I've got to be well versed on like over 500 fighters. But I do like to watch high-level mixed martial arts. And Fabrizio Verdum fought in the PFL last week. This is an interesting one to talk about here. So Verdum, Lewis, he had a fight. I forget the name of his opponent. I'm not familiar with him. And Verdum's on his back, locks in a triangle. And in fact, Harrington, you might have the video of this, I believe. So Verdum taps. The referee doesn't see the tap. Verdum claims that he felt the tap, so that's why he let him out the triangle. And then his opponent knocks Verdum out.
Ooh.
Okay. So Verdum appeals.
Opponent tap, though.
Well, you tell me. It looks like two taps, just two taps. Little tap, tap.
Is there a rule? Tap, tap, or tap, tap, tap?
Tap, tap, tap-a-roo. I don't know.
How many taps is a tap? Because in the moment, you're like, oh, I'm going to fucking fuck you up, doggy.
Yeah. I know. But before you play the video, Brian, and this is the thing as well. Listen, I was having this debate with Callum earlier. He's like, well, no, that was the right thing, Dad. It should have been overturned because he tapped. I'm like, okay, but the ref didn't see it and the fight continued. And then his opponent, and sorry, just tell me his opponent's name when you get a chance, Harrington, so I'm being respectful. But his opponent then knocked out Fabrizio. Can't argue that he definitely knocked him out.
Two questions. Number one, is it unified rules? Where was this? Is the PFL using the same rules typically as the UFC? And then is the rule you listen to the referee's direction, or is the rule if somebody's tapping, you let go of the hold?
Henan Ferreira, so thank you for that, Harrington. The fight took place in New Jersey. There's not too much deviation in the rules from state to state. So some adopt the new rules, the old rules, whatever.
No, but Jersey's the same as Vegas.
Yeah. When you tap, it's time to stop. But the referee didn't see it. No nonsense, Mike. No nonsense. No nonsense, Keith Peterson, I do believe. Continue.
Well, I'm saying, what is the actual rule? Do you know offhand what the actual rule is? Is it, do you have
if
to you, wait
well, to I don't have it in front of me right now, but I do know if you tap, the fight stops. But the referee didn't see it. So, you know, Verdum says that he tapped, so he let go of the thing. You watch. See what you think. I want to watch. I want to see what I think.
Brandon trying to pound his way out of it. He's going to have to address this. Hammer fist coming down. He's got it locked on.
It actually doesn't look that tight.
Guerrero continues to hammer down with the right hand.
Lewis with the expert know-how on the track. It doesn't look that tight, bro.
It doesn't. Now it does.
Yeah, Verdum already has the hematoma. He's going to get the tap here. That is very tight with the triangle.
At the right angle now.
Oh, he's got his arm out.
He's out. The hit out.
So for the audio listeners there,
saw,
of course,
I saw Verdum. That little tap. I wouldn't have called that a tap.
Yeah, it was. A lot of people saying it was clearly two taps. So can we go to the tap situation again? As I say, for the audio listeners, Verdum gets him in a triangle, and his opponent, Hedin Ferreira, is on top. He's coming down with hammer fist repeatedly with the right hand, then apparently stops throwing hammer fist, and he did do two little taps. And I did see what looked to be two little taps, but then he goes back to kind of punch it. I don't know.
Yeah, it did seem like there was a moment where he was like, I'm going to tap. And he was like, fuck this. Let me smash this guy.
Let's look again. So he's in the triangle. Look there. That looked like a tap.
Wait, go back. I'm sorry.
But then he goes back to punching. Hold on. That can't have been it because he lets him out of the triangle. Slap. Tap, tap. That looked like a tap. But hold on. But Verdum didn't let him out. Are you sure that's the one? He's still squeezing the triangle. It looked like a tap there, though. But anyway, but then Hedin Ferreira goes on here to knock him out.
I don't think that Verdum even in the moment thought that he tapped. I think Verdum watched it after the fact and is now replaying history in his own way, because even watching it, that's debatable. And how would you know sort of in that moment, the way the bodies are angled, it wasn't a clear cut, like tap, tap, tap. It was like him smacking his hand on his body for a second.
Well, that's what you're saying about Fabrizio. Fabrizio's very, very angry about this situation. He's very tall. Mm. He's had many fights. I know you're training for Jason Ellis, but I just watch your back because Fabrizio has a habit of throwing boomerangs at people.
I'd be embarrassed to
say. So you heard it here.
As long as he doesn't have a boomerang, I'm not really worried.
Believe you me, exclusive. Luis J. Gomez says Verdum made it up and he didn't tap and he's looking for an excuse. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying yes. Yes. I think he's looking for an excuse after the fact because it did not seem like a tap to me. And honestly, I think the rule is, because this is what Harrington just wrote in the notes. He goes, referees usually advise fighters prior to a fight to hold on to a submission until they intervene to avoid such an outcome.
Lewis, Harrington's had so many fights as well, so he'd know.
I don't think he's wrong, though.
He would know. Listen, he is a little bit wrong. I've had them say that to me. I've had them not say that to me. And I guess he does say usually. Yeah, no, listen, the referees do generally say, don't, if you have a submission, you keep going until I come in. Only I have the authority to stop the fight. Unless you tap, that's, you saying I'm done, and the referee's going to step in. Now, there's two sides to that, because if you're an honorable martial artist and if you do jiu-jitsu, you understand the system and how it works and you know that these moves can do a lot of damage, So he's like, hold on. I'm fucking choking him out and he's tapping out. I'm going to let him go. So there's two sides to it. There really is. I know Verdum afterwards was on the microphone in his post-fight interview and he was angry. He was pissed off. He said, no, he definitely tapped. He definitely tapped. And then today we see the news that the New Jersey Athletic Commission have overturned it and made it a no contest. And I was just, that's good for Fabrizio. Fair play to him. But I'm saying, if I was the other guy, if I was Hedin Ferreira, I'd be like, what the fuck? So like you're debating potentially I tapped. Well, I definitely knocked him out. We definitely saw that, So it's a weird
one. I guess the debate would be if he let go, which he didn't seem to have, which if he let go of the hold and then he was able to gain position from that. But it seems like to me that, like, even if the tap in question was that tap, Fabrizio not only didn't let go, but he seemed to crank on the neck further. Did you see that?
I didn't see all of it, but he definitely did let go. I'm saying it's more on the producers right now, because everyone else, the world at large, seems to acknowledge the fact that Fabrizio tapped and let go. Okay. That's the consensus. That is what fucking happened. That's what happened. Okay, on that clip, we didn't.
On that clip, that's not what happened. From what I've seen, if I'm a detective and that's the evidence presented to me, I'm saying
on that
right
clip,
now.
Fabrizio got his fucking ass kicked. Simple as that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crow portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, what else should we do? Where should we go with these notes? Is Harrington, is there anything that we're missing here? Oh, Gigi Chikadze, should we talk that or not? Go on, what else you got, Harrington?
No, I mean, the Giga thing was super interesting to me as somebody, you know, we saw him get that win just a couple weeks ago against Cub Swanson and immediately had an opponent in mind, and he doubled down this week. So, you know.
Who did he double down on this week? Max Holloway, right?
Yeah, so it was Max Holloway. The quote is this: every time he was doing some crazy boxing combo, I was like, man, I really want to fight him. It really motivated me to do it even more. And I definitely feel like I'm the best striker in the organization. And I really want to fight him, to challenge him, to show the world what I'm capable. I guarantee you I'm the best striker in the organization, a better striker than Max Holloway. I just need a chance to prove it. It doesn't matter if it's 3 or 5 rounds. I only give Max 2. Yeah, I believe I can do it.
Ooh. Yeah, well, I mean, he's saying all the right things, but until his last 2 fights, he hadn't had a stoppage in the UFC. And I'm not talking shit about Gigi Chikadze. I think the guy's phenomenal. You know what I mean? But he went to a few decisions. He got 2 stoppages, stopped Cub Swanson in the last one with that sensational kick. But Max Holloway's the man. You know, Max Holloway is Maxi Baby, for crying out loud. I like it. Of course, Gigi should say that. He should be confident. You know, but is he the best striker in the UFC? I don't know about that. What's his face? Max Holloway was saying when he fought Kelvin Kattar, I'm the best boxer in the UFC, whilst doing all those crazy head movements and evasive movements. He may be. He may not. Gigi Chikadze may be. He may not. I'll say this. If Gigi Chikadze is the best at anything, he may be the best kicker. He may be the best kicker, but all-round striker? Because here's what you generally find. Kickboxing or Muay Thai specialists, they're good at kicks, punch, kicks. If you're a Muay Thai guy, you got your knees and elbows in there as well. But they're not the best with the hands. And a boxer obviously will be good with the hands, but not too good with the kicks. You know what I'm saying? Right. Now, mixed martial arts, they blend them all and they get good at all of them. And there is a few examples of that. But Gigi Chikadze, I would put him more in the kickboxer category as being very good with the kicks.
Michael Bisping, you are, you know, primarily known as a striker. You know, obviously we saw on your Instagram, very well versed in jiu-jitsu as well. We're not discrediting your jiu-jitsu credentials, but
shout out, you know, Callum got his blue belt at the weekend.
That is amazing. Congratulations to Callum. Who would you say, in your opinion, is the best striker in the UFC? Now, yeah. not obviously Ngannou knocks people out, but
yeah, no. I wouldn't make him have
a striker.
I wouldn't have Ngannou as number one. Yes, having sensational power is one thing. If anything, Ngannou, I'm not saying he's sloppy, but he still has a lot of work to do, you know, but he's just naturally gifted. Best striker in the UFC. Oh, that's a tough one.
From a pure technique standpoint, you watch him, you're like, wow, that's fucking incredible. Like, it's a martial, because you know, for the layman, we watch it and it's all incredible. You're like, wow, dude, these guys are just like crazy. But I think there's intricacies that the layman misses that you have to be either a coach or a martial artist to really understand.
Yeah, see, and there's 2 different things as well when it comes to striking or in any kind of combat. There's technique, how good you are in your technique, and there's how effective you are. For example, perfect example is when I fought Dan Henderson, my boxing coach at the time, Mark Kinney, Olympic level boxing coach in the UK, very, very technical boxing coach, right? And the amateur style is way more technical than the amateur style. Sorry, than the professional style. Amateurs, you can't win by knockout. They discourage that. It's all on points, in and out movement, technicalities. And he watched footage of Dan Henderson fighting and was like, fuck me, Mike, you gotta fucking kill this guy, he's fucking shit, look at him, Mike, he's fucking shit, he's shite, he can't fucking box to save his fucking life, right? And he's right, because when you watch him, he's terrible. But that doesn't mean he's not effective.
Yeah, dude.
Because he was fucking certainly effective against me. And on a technicality point, yeah, definitely I'm a way more technical boxer. But when you mix in the takedowns and the kicks and all the rest of it and the 4-ounce glove and you fucking connect and you put someone to sleep, yeah, on that night, he was a better fucking boxer than you, pal. Right. So, yeah, and that goes to your point about Ngannou. Ngannou is a very effective, but he's not the best striker. You put me on the spot. I mean, some of the best ones that spring to mind right now, Max Holloway would be one of them. Giga Chikadze, in terms of his kicking, I'm yet to see too much hands from him, but his kicking's sensational. Shane Burgos is in action this weekend. He's fucking sensational. He's one that just springs to mind right now. I don't know, Harrington and Bryan, is there any others that... I mean, there's many others, of course, that I'm missing.
Israel Adesanya.
Oh, shit, of course. Israel Adesanya, he's absolutely phenomenal. Trust me, and I'm not just saying that for the PC thing. I've watched Israel, and I'm like... I'm blown away. I'm blown away by the technicality of his strike, but I'm sure there's many others. Harrington, Brian, please chime in.
I mean, you know, just as far as pure striking goes, I mean, a little bit of the lighter guy, though, but Davison Figueiredo, you know, what he's able to do at 125 pounds, I mean, it's absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, no, it is terrifying. But again, he kind of goes into that Dan Henderson kind of division. You know what I'm saying? He's devastating. He packs tremendous power, but he's not like, he's good. He's good. I'm not saying he's bad, but I'm not blown away by his technicalities. You got to give Conor McGregor. Dustin's good. But listen, Conor, when he's fucking on, you know what I mean? And you know, I'm not a Conor dick rider, but you got to give credit where credit's due. You know what I mean? And in that first round against Dustin, he did some phenomenal things. The way he leans back, lays back and comes back in and counters with that left. And, you know, when in the early days when he was mixing up the kicks and the strikes and the punches, I mean, Conor definitely deserves a shout out, Brian.
What about the undefeated Sean O'Malley?
Yeah. No, he's not undefeated. I like what you did there. But Sean O'Malley deserves credit. He has power. He has pop. He has precision. He has accuracy. So, yeah, but he's not. I wouldn't put him in the top five or top 10. There's some here that pop up here. Oh, here's a good one. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
That fight against Jeff Neal was incredible. Anderson Silva, of course.
Yeah,
you know, back in the day, Lyoto Machida, Adesanya, Overeem, Barboza, Chuck Liddell, Dos Santos. I've got a list here now, you see. Stipe Miocic, Mauricio Shogun Hua. He was back in the day. Shogun was fucking sensational back in the day. Jose Aldo, Brian Chimes in there. Harrington?
Last week, Yuri Prohaska.
Yeah, no, sorry.
I think we did a whole thing about how he keeps his hands down.
Yuri fucking, he said himself, yeah, you know, for this, it's not good. I can't do it. I can do a Yuri. I can do one when I hear him talk and I can copy, but I'm not familiar enough with his accent right now to do it. But I was like a sad bastard practicing a Yuri impression and I had it down pretty good. But no, Yuri's, again, very effective. He's very effective, but he took a lot of damage. What I like to see when I'm calling someone a really good striker, I want to see them being just as impressive with their defense as their offense. You know what I mean? Just the way someone can go in, blah, 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 slip, 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 roll, roll, step out, pivot on the angle, boom, throw right hand, left hook, and then get out of the way of the next shot. You know what I mean? When you put together combinations like that and dazzle your opponents and dazzle the crowd, that's what I want to see. Yuri, devastating striker, you know, but still has a little bit of work to do on the defensive side.
Yeah, everyone we've named is great. Poirier is the only one that I think that I watched him recently, just like on his Instagram, and he was just like hitting the bag, and I was like, God damn it, dude, he looks like, I thought it was a boxer. I didn't even realize it was him at first. I thought it was a professional boxer. I was just scrolling, and he just looked like incredible, like just really, really technical and very like I don't know, just better boxing than most UFC guys that I've seen.
Yeah, Poirier is, yeah, no, he's exceptional. He's very, very good. I don't think he's as good as a striker as Conor McGregor, but he's probably a better fighter in terms of, you know, he puts it all together a bit more with he's not far behind Conor. If it was just a kickboxing match, I'd probably favor Conor. But Dustin, I think, takes a better shot, has a better gas tank, has probably a little bit better wrestling, probably similar in jiu-jitsu on the ground. But he just takes a beating better. You know what I mean? Conor's great when he's the hammer. When he's the nail, he tends to wilt, which a lot of people do. That's not an insult. Some people, like Dustin Poirier, can take a fucking licking and keep going all day, unless you knock him out, like Conor did in the first one. You know what I mean? But still, yeah, that was fun. That was an interesting conversation. What else have we got in the notes, Harrington? Is there anything to finish off with? Have we got any questions, Brian? What have we got?
Got a question?
No, Harrington, go ahead.
Okay, well, this I thought was super interesting. After Neil Magny got the win on Saturday night, Khamzat Chimaev popped back up. He said, you know, the you're next for me, essentially. Don't run like a chicken. Who slaps in the cage at Dana White. Neil Magny seemed interested in it, but I thought what was super interesting was Khamzat's follow-up. He said, I'm fighting in August at 170, September at 185, November at 170, and then again in December at 185 for a guy who hasn't fought, you know, in over 6 months now. Is this too big of a undertaking to schedule four fights in a year?
Well, that in itself is... Yeah, that is, you know, it's something. And I guess, and he's talking out of his ass because he hasn't got four fights fucking scheduled. UFC will never do that in a million years. But that's his own schedule, what he wants. That's what he would like to achieve this year, which I admire. But what I don't agree with and I don't admire, and I just think it's a little bit silly, and it comes back to you, Lewis, as well, is that he wants to fight at 170, then he wants to fight at 185. Then he wants to fight at 170, then he wants to go back to 85. That's not smart. That's a 15-pound weight difference, going up, going down, going up, going down. How does it relate to you, Lewis? Well, all that fucking ketoing, all that losing weight, losing muscle, but then trying to put it back on. Then you're taking it off. Then you're putting it on again. Lewis, trust me. Trust me. I'm going to get a fucking nutritionist on here. You're out of your mind. 38 years, you were fine with the sugar. You were fine with the carbs.
I wasn't.
Okay.
I wasn't.
You were.
I fluctuate. I fluctuate from being a fat ass to being in shape all the time. And every time I get in shape, I cut out carbs completely. I cut out sugar completely.
Well, that's
and
what
I
you have more, to do.
I have tons of energy. I have more energy. I'm sluggish when I eat carbs and sugar. I'm telling you right now, dude. I think I have
maybe
some
sort
of gluten
intolerance. Lactose or gluten. Yeah, gluten. Maybe you got an issue with that. Yeah, to be fair. What was the question? So Jeff Neal and Khamzat. I mean, this is fair play.
How do we get to trashing me? Thank you.
Because I'm always looking for an angle. Let's be honest. Hey, I want to see Khamzat back. What did he have? Three fights? Yeah, two on Fight Island.
Yeah.
One against
He did have two scheduled. You remember, he had two scheduled at once, which I don't remember that ever happening in UFC history.
No. I hope he's fine because I know there was those issues. He was still having lung issues after COVID, so I hope he's fine. But yeah, it'd be nice to see him back, him and Neil Magny. That'd be great. Unfortunately, I never saw the fight with Jeff Neal and Neil Magny. Harrington, how was that in the weekend? I thought Neil might have won that, but how'd the fight go down?
Neil Magny just outstruck him. It's, you know, Neil Magny putting a pace on guys. I think he ended up outstriking him. Let me look that up right now. But it was a significant margin. I mean, you know, it was a Neil Magny fight. There's not really much more to say other than that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was a very good technical breakdown. I have no idea what happened. It was a Neil Magny fight, Lewis, and it's as simple as that. That's all he's willing to say.
That's what I would say if I didn't watch a fight. I'm like, dude, you know?
Yeah.
He won, but dominating performance, three rounds.
Dude.
You know, what else is there to say? What else can
Neil
we say?
Neil Magny is the real deal. I mean, the way he went out there and beat Jeff Neal. I mean, come on. I mean, does that?
What an impressive performance. What a tough opponent in Jeff Neal. Nobody just rolls over Jeff Neal. That's not the way it works. And Neil Magny came out and he looked probably, in my opinion, probably the best Neil Magny we've ever seen.
And Neil Magny, I mean, you cannot underestimate this guy, right? Because you think Jeff Neal's going to go out there and beat him, but he just goes out there and beats him. It's crazy. Are we filling enough airtime here?
After the fight, Jeff Neal.
Are we bullshitting our way through a fight?
I'm
going to
do this. I'm not even going to watch the fights. I'm going to take the Harrington approach from now on and just fucking half-ass a review of the fight.
After the fight, Jeff Neal did say, you know, that he does have some nagging injuries that were really hurting him heading into the fight, and he's going to have to take some significant time off to heal up before he thinks about coming back.
Okay, Bellator, we were going to discuss this, actually. We never got into it at all. Two people of note that I wanted to see, Anthony Rumble Johnson being one of them, and Michael Venom Page, obviously, sensational striker from Britain. Can you bring up the picture of the opponent of Michael Venom Page? Have you seen this, Lewis?
I haven't seen it. I saw the Rumble knockout.
I forget his name, but he was a good opponent. I think he was, he's had some good wins. So it was a step up in competition. Not necessarily in name value for Michael Venom Page, but I looked at his record of his opponent. He's a tough guy. He's got a lot of wins on there. But check this out. This fucking head kick that Venom Page... Now, remember, Michael Venom Page kneed Cyborg Santos in the face, and we made jokes
broke
about how
skull.
He needs to... Broke his skull, needs to up his potassium intake. Well, he broke this fucking nose in a big way. Let's have a look at this picture, please.
Let's see.
Boom. Nice head kick. Drops him. Oh, gets back up. Boom. Nice head kick. Gets back up. I feel like this is on a loop. But it's fucking, hey.
What is the craziest fight
this guy, this opponent has got hard for fucking days.
He's got no head kick defense, but he will keep coming, dude.
Can we see the fucking still? Oh, Harrington, you're full of shit, bro. Leave all this in, Brian, because this is great. Harrington said, for those that don't know, I said, hey, bring up the picture of his opponent's nose, Michael Venom Page's opponent. And they bring up a video of the kick. I'm like, no, that's not what we want. It's a nice head kick, but we've seen head kicks. We want to see the nose. And Harrington's like, it's in there. Not the best picture. Side angle. What's his name? I'll find it. What's his
looks
name?
Looks like Forrest Griffin.
Harrington, come on the fucking thing. Stop typing at me.
Yeah.
All right. I am looking up his name right now. It was. Oh, no. I looked up the wrong guy.
Listen, I'm just going
to
explain the fucking
this
nose.
This is a
to
fucking
you.
Mess. I don't know what happened, but the show fell apart. We got 3 minutes left. I don't know what happened.
Right. See me side on. See this nose? Perfect profile of a nose. On the one that you, the one they just showed, it's fucking face on. So you don't really see how much it's squashed. There's a picture floating around. It's this angle and it is fucking gone. It is smashed in to smithereens. Okay. There
Michael
you go.
Michael Page, do you think that he's a guy who might have benefited from
look at that.
Who is he, a guy that might have benefited from being in the UFC? Because I almost feel like he's one of the guys who we've been talking about for years and years. He's an incredible talent, incredible striker, talking about best strikers in you know the UFC. He's probably one of the best strikers in Bellator. And I just feel like he had some tough losses. Maybe if he was in the UFC, he would have, you know, risen to the occasion and could have, you know, possibly had a better career. I don't want to say a better career. That sounds disrespectful, but
he's having a great career. He fought for the belt in Bellator and he got beaten, and now he's building himself back up. The problem is only one loss. Yeah, career against the current champion. Exactly. The problem is, you know, some of the competition that he beat, you know, they weren't big names, you know, and they didn't have the best records. So that's where the negativity kind of comes in. But that's how you should do it, right? You got to build up, but you do have to face some real competition. Now the guy that he just fought again, I apologize, I'm not sure of his name. As I said, I looked at his record. Decent record, good name, you know, beating some good guys on there. So yeah, Derek Anderson. Thank you, Harrington. I apologize, Mr. Anderson. But Derek Anderson, solid fighter, you know, but just doesn't have the name brand. But he went out there and he did what he had to do. He fucking finished him in style and trashed his nose. And Venom Page is saying, I want to fight for the belt next. I want to fight for the belt, you know. So he's saying all the right things. Fair play. To your point, one of the best strikers in Bellator. Again, with the conversation we had before, Michael Venom Page, he's a tremendous striker, definitely a karate stylist, you know, more of a kickboxer. Hands are very low, but the fucking kicking in the knees are next level. They're absolutely sensational. So I'd like to see him in the UFC, you know, and we might still see it one day. Obviously, Oriatar, he manages him as well. So he's got links to the UFC, obviously. But if he goes out there and wins the Bellator championship, and they're paying him a lot of money, he might not have to come over. But
they
I would like to see him,
a ton, because he's been like the dude on the tip of everybody's tongue probably for like 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. Let's try and I'll shoot him a message. Let's try and get him on the podcast.
That'd be great.
That'd be fun. Yeah. Michael Venom Page. If anybody wants to, everybody hit up Michael Venom Page. In fact, this is what we're going to do from now on. Not only am I going to formally request for my Instagram
tweet
them to
him.
Come on the show, everybody that listens to this show has to hit up the guest that we say and just hound them into being a guest. Yeah.
Let's do it. I love it. Let's go. Dox him. Find out where he lives.
Do it to Darren Till, because I fucking did it to Darren Till and he's left me high and dry.
No way.
Oh.
Everyone tweet it, Darren Till, hashtag Hollywood Till.
Hashtag Hollywood Till. No, he sent me a voicemail on Instagram. You know, the one you leave a little voice recording, and I was in the middle of something and I couldn't respond right then and there.
Do an impression of the voicemail. What was it? What did it sound
like? Oh, fucking hell, lads, right? So I know this guy. Yeah, I'm a little business opportunity for you there, Mike. Yeah, I might be able to make some easy money for you, la. Do you know what I mean? Right. Anyway, I was in a very high-powered meeting. Couldn't pick up. No. I thought to myself, I'll do it later. Forgot. I'm a busy man. I've been hitting the head a lot. Next day, voicemail. Oh, that's it. leave your fucking voicemail, is it, lad? And you just don't fucking respond. Sound. That's what he actually said. Is it? And you just don't fucking respond, is it? Sound. As if, like, fuck you.
So what you're saying is his perspective might be that you went Hollywood Bisping on him.
Yeah.
So we're saying hashtag Hollywood Till. He's saying hashtag Hollywood Bisping. Whose side are you on, believers? I don't know. People love Darren Till.
Yes, mate. What's happening?
Oh, no.
What, like, did you just read voice notes now? You had a knock at back. Sound, mate. What, like, did you just read voice notes now? You had a knock at back. Sound, mate.
Darren, love you, buddy. Didn't say anything private there. No, I said, tried to get him on the podcast today. He's busy today. He's on daddy duty, but I think Darren hopefully will join us on Thursday.
Very cool.
Brian, do we have any questions? And remember, everybody, if you want to join the chat, send them into bympod@gmail.com. Please make them funny. Please make them interesting. Please make them original questions, and we'll play them on the show. Brian, do we have any, my friend?
Yeah, I got a question here from Stone Thor Magnuson.
Oh.
Hey, guys. My name's Stone Thor. I'm from Iceland. Half English, though. Love you guys. You're fucking awesome. And, yeah, it's just a little question for Mike. Like, what do you do for your to top up your cardio? Because everyone knows you're the best in the business in the cardio. So, yeah, just a little question. Any tips and pointers? I've been kickboxing for a year, and one thing I realise is the cardio. But, yeah, love the show. You guys are awesome. And, Mike, you're just a fucking legend, man. Take care. From Iceland.
Whoa!
Look at that.
Apparently, it's going to be here for another 100 years. You never know.
For the audio listeners, our good friend Stone Thor Magnuson, which, by the way, what a fucking name. Come on. Straight out of Vikings. Send the video in, and then when he turns the camera around, there's an actual volcano erupting. Yeah, pretty impressive. Stone Thor, thanks for the question. Again, I wish I was called Stone Thor. What's your name? Stone Thor Magnuson. I mean, come on. It's better than fucking Luis J. Gomez.
I like Luis.
Stone Thor's a solid name.
That is Stone Thor.
That is like a big dick name if I've ever had one. If you, dude, if Stone Thor pulls out his pants.
This is the nickname that you call your penis. What do you call it? Stone Thor.
If he pulls out his pants and he's got a small dick, I mean, what a shame.
It's a real shame. But Stone Thor Magnuson, you're just going to do whatever you're doing with intensity. And they say you got to train the way that you're going to fight. What do you mean by that? Well, if you don't push yourself in training, but then you push yourself in the fight, you're going to get tired. You know, that's why I know hard sparring is very frowned upon, but you do need to replicate it in as safe an environment as possible, because you can throw punches like this all day long. And for the audio, again, I'm just half-heartedly throwing punches. But when you're trying to fucking sink them in and you're trying to hurt someone, you're trying to knock them out and you throw them with intensity and everything's at 100% effort, it's way more tiring. And if you don't do that in your sparring situations and then you go to fight and you're doing that, you're trying to finish them, you're going to get tired.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, it's pretty easy to understand. It's like when you have somebody trying to punch you in the fucking face, you know, especially in the very beginning, you tense up, you know what I'm saying? You're firing off muscle fibers. If you've ever been into a street fight, even as a kid, you remember this probably, where you get into a street fight, it's a little scuffle and then it's over, right? But the next day your body's sore, your muscles are sore. Yeah. I don't know if you remember this as a kid, but I remember this happening, and it's because you almost like fire off you tense every muscle in your body and you get all tight and tense. And then what?
Devil's advocate.
Devil's avocado.
I think my street fighter experience went a lot different to yours. I certainly wasn't fucking sore the next day.
The other guy was sore. Your knuckles were sore.
I was fucking fine, you know. Listen, if you gotta run, you gotta do pads, you gotta do everything. It's hard work. You know how it is. See, I get asked that question all the time. A lot of people hit me up on Instagram. I don't answer, by the way, so don't bother doing that. I do answer sometimes. I do. I sound like
you gotta be on a flight.
I do, yeah. But There's no shortcut. Everyone wants to, people ask that because they want to know, shit, what is the very best thing that I can do? Because a lot of people don't like to run, or they don't like to swim, or they don't. And it's like, there's no shortcut, mate. It's just hard fucking work. There's no secret to it. Now, of course, certain types of things will help more than others. So you want to make sure that you're doing the right things, the correct things. But you want to hit pads with intensity. You want to hit the bag with intensity. You want to run with intensity. You want to spar with intensity. You want to do everything that you do with a certain level of intensity. Of course, on the days, if it's a recovery day, you want a nice, pleasant jog. It all depends what you're doing. But if you're trying to build your cardio, you're going to do something to where at the end of it, you're out of breath like that. When I was training for a fight and I went for a run, I used to look like a psycho because I would, especially in the streets of Clitheroe, around there, people don't care as much and there's hardly anyone where I live. It's fucking like a fucking ghost town. But in Clitheroe, small little town, I'm running down the streets. You know what I mean? Because you're pushing it to the fucking extreme and that's how you get fit.
Yeah, and it's also, I think, do something that you're not comfortable with, right? So like if you're used to running, it's going to, you're going to, you know, your body adapts to that and you're going to get less tired. It's going to be less of a cardio benefit. So Swim. I know that like I can go jog pretty easily a few miles, but if I swim three laps, I'm fucking dying. I'm absolutely dying. Yeah. So I think getting outside of your comfort zone, if you're getting used to kickboxing, you're probably not getting the same cardio benefits as you would. So go run sprints up hills, you know, go run stairs, do something like that. It's just your body not adapting to it. And the more uncomfortable you are, the better it's working typically.
Well, I'll give him one little drill, and I've spoken about this before. Hill sprints. When I was training for a fight, hill sprints once a week were a part of the program, you know, and I have a little hill by my house. I pick a distance, you know, however long it is, I'm not sure what it was, let's say 100 yards, but it was a pretty steep hill. You fucking sprint up that as hard as you can, and then when you get there, you slowly walk down to the bottom, and when you get to the bottom, you sprint back up it again, and you do that 10 times. It's not that hard. You just need a fucking hill. Or you get yourself a treadmill. And depending on your fitness level, we'll say it's not very good. So put it on 8 and an incline of 8 and do 30 seconds on, 30 seconds off. And you can speed it up to go a level of 10 incline and a 10 speed. And you can do 40 seconds on and 20 seconds off like I was doing before the George St. Pierre fight. You're probably overtraining. And there you go. And on that note.
You probably hurt your rib. You're probably going to lose your world title. Life's never going to be the same.
And then you're going to get mocked forever on social media. All right, guys. Hopefully we'll get Darren Tiller, a good guest, on Thursday. Thank you as always. We really, really appreciate all of you. I know you think we give Brian and Harrington shit. We don't. It's fun. What do you want us to do? Say, Harrington, can you show yourself, please, sir? No, we appreciate all the input from everyone, but we appreciate you guys, the listeners and the watchers, more than anything. So tell your friends, spread the word. Subscribe, all that good stuff. Lewis.
Thank you very much, guys. We'll check you soon. Have a great week.